I invite you to stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel comes from the book of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I'm going to make some people angry today. I'm going to talk about football. Uh-oh. Actually, I think about football every Sunday during church. I play fantasy football. I pay money to play fantasy football. I know how it's ridiculous. My wife always reminds me that the word is fantasy. Is in fantasy football, and that I'm 31 years old. But every Sunday morning, right now, half of my team is playing. And so I'm wondering, how bad am I doing today? And I will check as soon as service is over to see how much God likes me or not this Sunday. But unless you have been living under a rock, I'm sure many of you saw from last weekend, that the NFL has become popular again amongst people who don't like football. We are a nation divided again. This is not a sermon, by the way, of the merits on either side of what's going on. And I know that we have a lot of opinions on this issue, and I'm talking about football players who have been kneeling during the national anthem of football games. And the response that people have had in that, and they've been one of two ways. People support them kneeling in protest for what's been going on in our country with racial injustice, and other people think that while they have the right to protest, that's not the appropriate way to do it. And again, we have a wonderfully diverse congregation here, and that's something I celebrate. But because of that, there are things that happen every now and then that just split us right down the middle. And I know you all have opinions on this issue. And I know you express those opinions. Some of you have expressed them to me. I also am very aware that we have many members of our church who served this country willingly and sacrificed tremendously. And I'm so conscious of that sacrifice and so grateful for your service. And so again, I do not seek to talk about the merits of one side or the other, but merely the division that I have been seeing in our polity, both in the world and in our community and amongst people here whom I love. And it's a weird division. You have these two sides. You have a group who say that there are racial injustices in this country, and to bring light to those injustices, we are going to kneel during the anthem. And I know that the other side of this debate, for the most part, agrees that there are racial injustices and that they're wrong. And then on the other side, to say that you just don't disrespect our flag or our anthem in your protest. And contrary on the other side to that, I know these men who have been taking part in these protests have said none of this has any offense or bearing on our feelings towards our country, our flag, and especially not on the men and women who serve our country, whom they have said they're grateful for. So you've got this division where both sides actually agree with each other, but they're still split. And that same thing happens to us. There are these things in our world that divide us when they really don't need to. And when that happens, we pick our sides. You either stand or you kneel. People whom I love fighting with each other. And it's crushing. And it's to that division that I want to speak to. God consistently is present in our lectionary. To remind you, I don't choose the readings every Sunday. We have a three-year lectionary cycle, and these readings are chosen for us. And once again, they almost speak to these things that are happening in our country. This idea of division is so present in our gospel reading today. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He has traveled there because he knows he is about to die on the cross. He is experiencing a very high level of popularity from the people. And so while he is there, he's in the synagogue preaching, and he's got this massive crowd watching him, and they want to learn from him and hear him and see what this guy is all about. But then you have these church leaders, the Pharisees, who are getting really tired of Jesus. And so they come into this moment with this question, and the whole purpose of this question is to create division between Jesus and his popularity with the people during this time. They know that if they ask this question, regardless of the few ways that he could answer, he will lose his popularity. And the people will give up on him, and they will stop listening to him, and then finally, they could get rid of Jesus. So they ask him, by what authority do you do these things? He could say that it's by his own authority, and then he is just a man. Or it is by God's authority, and he is a heretic. But Jesus disarms them without participating, and instead asks them a different question that completely takes them away from what their whole purpose was. It's such a beautiful example, especially in regards to what's going on now in our own country, that when these moments of division come, when these moments where we feel like we have only two sides that we can choose, this third way comes in. Jesus utilizes that third way to disarm these Pharisees, and then he asks them a different question. They can't respond. Their attempt at division has failed, and then he tells them this story. What is more important? That we say we're going to do something, or that we do it? It is a reminder that these church leaders are the church, that they live in this covenant with God, that they are called to be God's hands and feet in this world, especially for the most vulnerable in our society. It is a reminder that they are called to reach out constantly with God's love to those who are in front of them. And so we have, once again, this moment of division in our society, and I see people taking their sides. And so what does this look like for us today? what does this look like for our congregation who is so diverse in both of our political views, our thoughts on this issue, our backgrounds and our stories? What does this look like for us? Our gospel reading is accompanied by this letter from the church to the church in Philippi by Paul. This is easily one of my most favorite readings in all of the Bible. It is called the Christ hymn. If you were to look this up in the Bibles in front of you, you would notice that starting at verse 6 and going to verse 11, it's shaped differently. In our reading here, it's just one big fat paragraph. But in the Bible, verses 6 to 11, it's actually a song. It is the Christ hymn. It is something that Paul did not write himself, but it was a song that a lot of these Christian communities were singing about Jesus. And so Paul is coming along to a church that is divided 2,000 years ago and trying to bring them together by reminding them of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them. And I want to read a part of this letter. And when I do it, I'd like to call to your mind the division that is being experienced in our country right now. Paul writes, "Make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but rather emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." If I could take one piece from the Bible to teach people about Jesus, just one, that would be it. This isn't to disregard your own opinions on the issue of standing or kneeling at all. I respect your opinions and I honor them. But it is a reminder of who we are. We are the church. We are followers of Jesus, a man who was God on earth, a man who was the most powerful, who could have done anything he wanted, but the choice that he made was to empty himself of that power and become a human, to connect himself to our own human experience, to the suffering and the pain and the sadness and the division that we experience in our lives, and ultimately to our death. And all for love of each and every one of you. As I say in my confession, God's love is unconditional. We are followers of this Jesus, and he calls us to be his presence in this way in our own communities and in our world. I hate seeing a divided country. Hate it. I hate going on Facebook when these things happen because I see it so prevalent on social media, how quickly we take our sides and how people who I love are suddenly pitted against each other. I hate it. I don't have a big sphere of influence. Livier keeps reminding me of that. But I do have this moment right here. As your pastor, a moment to say that while we have these opinions, while we have these things that are important to us, while we have men and women who have served our country and look at our flag and hear our anthem and see honor and sacrifice, knowing that we are a country who still experiences racial injustices, and often we just look the other way when it happens, that in the midst of all of that, while honoring all of those thoughts and opinions and perspectives, we are the church. We are God's presence in this world. We are called to empty ourselves of our own conceit and ambitions and through humility to reach out, not just to people who we agree with, but just to reach out in love. I honor our diversity, but I want you to remember who you are. You are the church. You are loved. And you are called to reach out with that love too. And in this small pocket, this small sphere of influence right here, if we can just reach out, maybe we can start creating some unity in this little pocket of our world. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.